Welcome to Onc Live on Air. I'm your host today, Riley Kandel. In today's episode, we spoke with John N. Allen, MD. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Allen discussed his review of the currently approved fixed-duration regimens for chronic lymphocytic leukemia. Regimens like venetoclax plus obinutuzumab, ibrutinib plus venetoclax, acalabrutinib plus venetoclax, and venetoclax plus rituximab were all regimens that Allen comparatively delved into. Additionally, Allen discussed insight provided by the review that clinical trials lack, remaining gaps of unmet needs for fixed-duration regimens in CLL, and what research is necessary for the field to conduct moving forward. Can you give us some background on what the treatment landscape looks like for CLL right now? How does this current treatment landscape compare to how the field has looked in the past? Why are fixed-duration regimens so important?
It's an important question, and it's an exciting question. It's an exciting time in the CLL space. As you are probably well aware, and I hope the readers will become aware, that there is a new fixed duration approach here in the United States in the management of CLL, and that is with acalabrutinib and venetoclax. And this is new for us. While the rest of the world has been using fixed duration approaches with oral doublets, the U.S. finally has this approval as of February of 2026. It's a new option. It's an antibody-free option. And it's essentially, it adds a new approach and strategy that we can now deploy for our patients and really start to personalize our approaches. In general, though, the treatment strategies are not really any different. We're still thinking of two main strategies. One is a continuous therapy BTK inhibitor monotherapy approach, maybe a plus or minus an antibody. And then our fixed duration approaches, which is typically about a year of therapy and then stopping treatment regardless of some response. What's new, though, is within that fixed duration approach, we have two options. One is a venetoclax obinutuzumab, so an oral pill, BCL2 inhibitor plus an antibody, or this new approach that I just previously spoke about with a BTK inhibitor and a BCL2 inhibitor, all oral therapy, and in this case, acalabrutinib and venetoclax. With that said, in our NCCN guidelines, we do have other options to use either ibrutinib and venetoclax or zanubrutinib and venetoclax in various different approaches and in various ways. But the true approval is there with acalabrutinib and venetoclax, and that's been now rolled out, and I think people are starting to get experience with it, and we're starting to learn where one option might be better for others or how we might be able to optimize therapy. And I think that's where the kind of the next levels of research are moving towards. Of really trying to figure out how to best treat the patients with a specific type of approach.
In your review, when you were looking at all of those studies and their data, what did you find regarding efficacy that you found to be most striking? What's an important piece of information that your colleagues should know?
I was able to put together a review kind of summarizing the most recent data and some of the most recent innovations and kind of a looking at a historical lens, but also looking towards the future of how do we really compare and contrast some of these approaches and is there a best approach for a specific type of patient? We looked at the historical standards of these fixed duration approaches, kind of where we started with ibrutinib and venetoclax, and really how they started to compare against acalabrutinib venetoclax and zanubrutinib and venetoclax approaches and really started to try to tease out differences among the patient populations and differences among the responses. How are they similar? How are they different? And trying to provide any rational explanation on why we might see different toxicity profiles or efficacy profiles with the various approaches. And so we did some deep dives in that. And obviously, none of these oral therapy approaches of various different BTK inhibitor combinations have really been looked at head to head, but they are being done in similar patient populations. And so you can start to glean some inference of efficacy and safety of these regimens. At the end of the day, though, essentially what we find when you really look at all these studies is that these are very good regimens. They can achieve MRD negativity. They offer fixed duration. They debulk patients optimally prior to bringing in the venetoclax, making that ramp up safer. And as you start to look at the second generation combination drugs with acalabrutinib and zanubrutinib, you do start to see some cardiovascular safety improvements and signals there as well. Interestingly, though, when you really look at numbers-wise, numerical number-wise of efficacy, maybe ibrutinib venetoclax still holds an edge, and there are some thoughts around how the drugs interact with each other, the BTK inhibitor and the venetoclax, how they interact with each other, and it may lead to a modest, marginal, numerical improvement in some of the efficacy in terms of MRD and things like that. But no head-to-head study has really been done. I don't know if that's necessarily an absolute reason because it's still a modest difference, and you still deal with some toxicity issues. So we are still favoring these second-generation combinations, and really, acalabrutinib and venetoclax is where the approval is. And so that's the easiest to use. It's easiest reach for. It's where the data is. It's where the phase three trial was performed in to get the approval. And essentially, that is what I think is having a lot of uptake more recently in the past few months.
In the review and among all of the trials and data that were looked at, what was the most striking finding regarding safety among fixed duration regimens in CLL?
At the end of the day, I do think these regimens, again, are very, very similar, whether it's an efficacy standard or a safety standard. With that said, the second generation drug combinations with acalabrutinib or zanubrutinib with venetoclax, they do have cardiovascular safety improvements, particularly with acalabrutinib venetoclax in the AMPLIFY study. They really showed very few AFib rates and cardiovascular events and tachyarrhythmias, et cetera. And so that was some of the first data in a younger, fit population in the frontline setting that we're seeing this. Regarding cytopenias and infections, honestly, they look pretty similar across the board. What we have kind of learned is that those patients getting triplet therapies with an antibody added into the oral doublet, there is clearly an infection increase risk, a high-grade infection increase risk of about 10 to 15%, regardless of the data that you look at, as well as increased cytopenias. But the neutropenia rates look pretty fair across the board with just the oral doublets, very manageable with grade 3-4 neutropenia of about 30%, regardless of the combination that you're using, which is a dramatic improvement over those triplet regimens that we're using, and even with venetoclax obinutuzumab, an improvement.
How would you say these regimens, these data, and these trials help serve as a basis for future research? What future research with fixed duration regimens in CLL would you like to see?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's bringing into the question of the next kind of layer of research that we need to do, and that's MRD guided approaches. And so really tailoring the treatment to some response that you may or may not achieve, and how fast you might achieve that. And so I think the next a big group of studies are going to be bringing in MRD results into management of patients, and whether you extend treatment, you add on treatment, you shorten treatment. All of these study designs are actually being done and performed right now. And then the other thing that is important is that I think we need to understand a little bit better is that are there certain groups of patients, high-risk patients, low-risk patients, that might actually do better with a specific approach? An oral doublet is fine. You can get away with anything you want to choose for this type of patient. Or these high-risk patients, maybe we need to maximize treatment and even maintain treatment afterwards. It's completely unclear what to do for some of these higher risk people that we are still worried about, and how to best optimize them. And so I think the next layer of studies are going to be looking towards optimization of patients, as well as bringing in the MRD guidance in terms of duration of therapy. Because while fixed duration is great and it's easy and it's simple to deploy and patients like it, I do think there are certain patients that might actually have an improved outcome if we can deepen their response before we stop their therapy. And one thing we've learned is that with the venetoclax obinutuzumab study, and this is before we published the review, we saw 10-year updates, basically 9-year updates at EHA over the summer of venetoclax and obinutuzumab. And one from the CLL14 study, and one thing that really came out of that update was that the low-risk mutated IGHV patients can do phenomenally well. And in fact, 9-year remissions for half the patients, and the time to next treatment is even longer than that. And so Those patients might be best handled with a veno approach, but again, they can still do very well with these oral doublets. So I think we need to see the long-term data. The oral doublet data is very early on, and we don't quite see these curves separating right now in terms of identifying a patient that may perform better or do better with a certain different approach versus others. Some of those head-to-head studies are ongoing. The maturity dates are just relatively short in terms of time off of therapy after stopping.
Following the review, what are the biggest remaining unmet needs in CLL regarding fixed duration regimens? What future research would you like to see to help address these unmet needs?
I think the high-risk patients, those with deletion 17p complex karyotype, still represent a very unique problem for us managing these patients. I do think that obviously their outcomes have dramatically improved. And in fact, we have good evidence that for the most part, they have similar survivals to all of our patients, regardless of this risk feature, when you're using continuous therapy approaches. With that said, as we are now starting to really look at decades into the future for these patients, we do start to see that they are the ones at most risk of developing resistance to these various classes of drugs. And while these drugs hit home runs and can be in remissions for decades with each line of therapy, there's still only really two classes of drugs that we have. Obviously, we have now non-covalent drugs. And we have degraders that are in development that continue to extend the lines of therapy that are addressing particularly specific resistant mechanisms. And so I do think identifying new molecules, identifying best combinations, identifying the best way to deepen their remissions is a high priority and still an unmet need, even though the outcomes look great, even with our current standards that we have. They still represent a unique patient population that, as you look really long term, 10 plus years or longer, they are still the ones at risk of maybe failing several classes of these drugs and needing more things into the future, whether it's CAR T or these degraders, bispecifics, non-covalent drugs, and whatever else that's currently in development that might address resistant mechanisms of those agents. So I think that's an exciting time. We've got a lot of things still coming up into the pipeline that I think are going to be very clinically relevant for these patients, for all patients, but particularly for these high-risk patients. I look forward to participating in these studies and getting them out there into commercial use and for them to be approved and to help our patients in a more broader sense outside of even trial experiences.
In your review, you talk about the CLL17 trial. Could you provide some background as to what the CLL17 trial is and why it is so important for fixed duration regimens in CLL?
So CLL17, as a reminder for the audience, is a important study. It's really our first modern study where we don't really have an inferior control arm, whether it's chemoimmunotherapy or just a monoclonal antibody or some other inferior control arm. So this is our first modern study, and most studies going forward have all been designed with our modern control arms. But CLL17 is the first one to really report it. And this is our true first head-to-head study of these three major strategies that we are currently using for our patients. And that's one arm is a continuous therapy ibrutinib, one arm is venetoclax/obinutuzumab and how we standardly use it in 1 year of therapy, and one arm is ibrutinib/venetoclax and how we standardly use BTK-BCL2 combinations, which is either a 2 to 3 month lead-in of the monotherapy BTK plus the 12 months of the BCL2/venetoclax in this case. And then those two arms stop. Those are fixed duration approaches. And so we've seen data, and I think it's a little early to really make any calls about, hey, what's the best approach for patients? But I think the big thing takeaway that I have is that at the 3 year time point, there is no difference in progression-free survival. There is no difference in overall survival. Basically, all the patients are doing very well, with the obvious statement that the fixed duration arms, the patients are off of therapy. And so I think the big thing for me is that it helps solidify the place for fixed duration. Patients want that. We don't want to give continuous therapy because there are toxicities that we have to deal with over time and issues. We want patients off of treatment, and I think we are now realizing that in fact we can do that. We are doing no harm. The safety looks good and comparable regardless of the approach you use. So you can look at it one way as anything goes. You can choose any approach and you're never wrong. The other way to look at it is, hey, I have full confidence in a fixed duration approach to be able to offer that if it's the right patient, if it's right for them. But again, we need to still deep dive into the data. We need long-term follow-up to really identify, is there a subgroup of patients within this trial that may in fact do better with one approach versus others? And we haven't quite seen that or learned that or observed that yet. But I do think with time, we may see certain groups start to separate and realize, hey, maybe this approach is better for them, whether it's continuous therapy or whether it's, hey, a veno approach for low-risk patients or higher-risk patients need an oral doublet, whatever it might be. Those are the things that I will be looking for in these data updates over the next 3 to 5 years as they continue to release the data and we see these new updates.
Regarding your review, is there one short take-home message that you have for your colleagues about this review that might help them in their day-to-day practice?
The nice thing about it, and reviews will come and go, but the nice thing about it now in this time period is that it can really summarize a lot of the data for you. It puts it all there in place. So if you are reaching for a study or you don't know where to go for it, these reviews are good. And I think it's going to be relevant for the next several years. But obviously, as data updates are out there, things will need to be updated, new reviews will be out there. But right now, it's very timely. It's a good summary of the treatment. It's a little bit of an opinion of where I think the field might be going, obviously, what I'm going to be looking for, what we are looking for in the field. But it can center you a little bit. And I think that's the value of these reviews in general, but particularly with this one being timely, it's very update, it's very re recently released, and has kind of all of the modern therapies there and all the modern trials being summarized for you in a nice collated fashion.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Onclive On Air. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Onclive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at Onclive. On Facebook, like us at Onclive, and follow our Onclive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Onclive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thank you again for listening to Onclive On Air.